Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Live Like There's No Yesterday. Discover the Freedom of Leaving the Past Behind by John F. Westfall. Narrated by Mike Carnes. 1. What if there was no yesterday? It's no use going back to yesterday because I was a different person then. Lewis Carroll. The sign on the hallway wall said, "Live like there's no tomorrow." I could hardly resist the urge to pull out a marking pen, cross out the word tomorrow, and scribble under it, "Yesterday." I don't even remember what made me almost turn into an older version of an urban tagger, spraying graffiti and messages on our city walls. That afternoon, I managed to control my impulse, but it got me thinking about what could happen if we learned to live like there's no yesterday. Letting go of looking back. Tomorrow was never much of an issue for me. I didn't worry or feel anxious about what was just up ahead. I wouldn't even know how to regret the future since I hadn't messed it up yet. In fact, I rather liked the idea of the future because I'd get a fresh start. I guess I just didn't want to live like there was no tomorrow. Anyway, if today was all we had and there wasn't going to be a tomorrow, I didn't know where hope would come from. Yesterday, on the other hand, is definitely something I could live without. There have been times I dwelled in the past or looked back with both longing and regret. Sometimes the past haunted me, held me, or defined, limited, and frustrated me. Of course, the past also held victories, celebrations, and happy memories, but it seemed like I needed to dig around to find them in the pile of broken dreams and hurt feelings. If our goal is to live each day with freedom and joy, we have a chance to learn from our past experiences without allowing them to interfere with the happiness and confidence that come from living intentionally today. A lot has been said, thought, written, and sung about yesterday. After all, according to the Beatles, isn't it a place where all our troubles appear to be far away? If so, why wouldn't we want to dwell in the past? I've probably spent way too much time looking over my shoulder, ruminating on things that have happened or didn't happen in my past. It's not like I mean to do it, but those yesterdays creep up on me, and pretty soon the memories that get rekindled start burning bright, and it's hard to turn away. Dwelling in the past isn't limited to recalling painful, negative experiences or memories. We can also focus on good things, celebrations, past experiences, and achievements. And even though they're positive, they can still keep us from experiencing the joy and freedom of today. As a kid in Sunday school, I heard one Bible story that scared the stew out of me. It was the account of Abraham's relative, Lot, who is told to take his family and flee their home before an impending disaster. They were warned not to look back as they ran for their lives to the nearby mountains. Everything was going along well, we were told, until we hit the verse, "But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. I certainly had no desire to become a pillar of salt, much less a shaker or even a pinch of salt, so I spent my childhood trying not to get caught looking back. Perhaps I was more like Lot's wife than I thought, because in spite of my childish sense of dread, I spent much of my life looking in proverbial rear-view mirrors, remembering and ruminating on yesterday. Isn't it part of our human nature to see a wet paint sign and instinctively reach out to touch the paint to test if it's really wet? Is it even possible to hear the words, "Don't turn around," without immediately turning to see why we aren't supposed to look back? The Bible gives some pretty clear direction when it comes to how we deal with yesterday. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. I admit it would be so much easier if I just did what the verse tells us to do. Part of my problem might be that even after accepting the implications of that verse and intentionally choosing to do as it says, I get bogged down. Because right away I start thinking about the past in order to grasp what things are most important for me to forget. Like trying not to think of pink elephants, I end up dwelling on the past even as I try not to let it cross my mind. There is no end to the books, articles, TED Talks, sermons, and blogs encouraging us to focus on the now and forget about the past. You'd think with all this learned and well-intentioned encouragement to live in the moment, we wouldn't have a problem. After all, how hard can it be to not look back, especially if, like me, you fear becoming a pillar of salt? Of course, we all have our yesterdays. We carry with us lots of memorabilia, including happy memories, flashes of pain, carefully protected celebrations, and even a few trophies of failure. Pretending we have no past and denying our previous experiences doesn't solve anything. It just makes us seem a little creepy. We can, however, live like there's no yesterday. As we come to understand how our previous experiences impact and often shape who we are today, we can then choose to act and react intentionally rather than automatically. Corrective lenses. Sometimes it can be hard to experience positive growth or change in our lives because we get stuck in a mire of memories and interactions that make it difficult to see ourselves and our situations with fresh clarity. It's as if our emotional vision and our spiritual vision get blurry. I've worn glasses most of my life simply because I need them to see beyond about 2 feet in front of me. I'm nearsighted. This means I can read or do tasks that are close up, but anything very far away is just a big blur to me. Of course, my glasses help correct the problem and give me the ability to see things that are more distant. Once, while I was leading a group on a tour in Hawaii, we arrived in Honolulu and checked into our hotel, and I immediately ran across the street to the beach at Waikiki. It was a beautiful afternoon, and I couldn't wait to try body surfing in that sparkling water. Because I couldn't see very well without my glasses, I thought it best to wear them out into the ocean. Suddenly, I was hit from behind by a crashing wave, and my glasses flew off into the water. I never found them. I tried diving down and swimming along the sandy shore, which was an exercise in futility because, as you might guess, without my glasses I couldn't see well enough to find them. So, here I was, the guide for a whole group of people, and I couldn't see a thing. I was functionally blind for the whole week, unable to see anything farther away than the length of my arm. Pretending everything was fine so they'd never know what an idiot I was, swimming out into the ocean waves wearing my only pair of glasses. The same misfortune can happen to us emotionally and spiritually. We're going along and something hits us from behind, catching us off guard. Often we're hit by a tough difficulty that's painful. We lose what may have helped us keep our focus, and now we can't see clearly or even understand what we're facing in our lives. It's hard to know what to pay attention to because it's all a blur. Like my physical nearsightedness, we can find ourselves showing symptoms of emotional and relational nearsightedness as well. One of the indicators of this is our tendency to focus on things that are close up and immediate, but lose sight of the bigger picture. We look at our immediate situations, losses, struggles, and unmet needs, but we can't focus on a broader vision that puts everything in perspective. Sometimes I think it would be much better if we had something like glasses for our hearts and our minds. Imagine how freeing it would be to see our emotions and heartbreaks through the lenses of clarity and perspective. Likewise, we could process the memories, regrets, and resentments of the past in such a way that we could have a broad perspective of their impact on our lives today and in the future. I've come to see that there is something that does work like a pair of glasses for our minds and hearts. It's the lens of thankfulness, which allows us to look up from our limited focus and see a bigger picture of our lives today and our hope for tomorrow. In the Psalms, we're encouraged to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Psalm 100, verse 4. It's easy to become distracted by all the burdens, betrayals, successes, and failures from the past we carry with us every day. In time, we become worn down, losing perspective, and not feeling freedom or joy. But when we choose to be thankful in the midst of our troubles and frustrations, we begin a healing process that helps us live beyond our past. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul writes, but in every situation, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. When we acknowledge and express thankfulness, we're able to see situations and people in fresh ways. Gratitude is the antidote for so many of our distressing thoughts and bitter feelings. When we look at life through the perspective of thankfulness, it becomes easier to see and experience God's love. This, in turn, leads to freedom. It's exhilarating to have freedom that releases us from the fears that grip us, the regrets that gnaw at us, or the hurts and scars that trigger our traumas. We can be free to let go of the past that haunts and inhibits us in many ways. When we choose to let go of the past with all the resentment, shame, and memories of abuse it brings, we are free to live each day with confidence and hope. Choosing to let go is not the same as denying what may have happened. Nor does it suggest it won't take time and effort to let it go in a healthy way. We won't forget, but we can forgive. In releasing the past, we release ourselves. When we forgive, the person who's most impacted is ourselves. In The Lion King, Simba discusses with Rafiki, the shaman, his need to go back to his homeland and face his foes. Change is good, Rafiki counsels Simba. Yeah, but it's not easy, Simba responds. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Suddenly, his friend smacks him in the head with a stick. Ow, what did you do that for? It doesn't matter. It's in the past. Yeah, but it still hurts. Yes, the past can hurt, responds Rafiki. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. What is true for Simba the lion is also true for us. Even if the past hurts us, we can learn from it and move forward freely. Imagine a life where the past has no power to define or limit you, nor can it wound or shame you. You can live free today because it's the past. It doesn't matter. 2. Forget about it. There's no future in the past. I've got my faults, but living in the past isn't one of them. There's no future in it. Sparky Anderson, Major League Baseball manager. I never watched The Sopranos throughout the years it was an award-winning television series. But once, when I was homebound while recovering from surgery, I got so bored, I decided to binge-watch the whole thing from the beginning. I didn't make it all the way, because somewhere in season 4 I gave up on Tony Soprano and his mobster dealings and the killing of what seemed like the entire Italian-American community of New Jersey. All was not lost, however, because I learned one of the most important terms ever mumbled. Forget about it. I'm coming to realize this word has nearly universal application and seems appropriate for practically every situation. Someone does something to help you. You thank them and they reply, "Forget about it." Or you let someone down and hurt them. You apologize and they say, "Forget about it." Perhaps someone owes you a great debt they can't repay. What are you going to do? Kill them and dump their body in the river? Well, perhaps, or you could just say, forget about it. Forget about it becomes an expression of grace, a gift we don't deserve and could never earn, but which we definitely need. I was surprised, watching The Sopranos, that in a world stuffed to the brim with cheating, lying, conniving, and murder, a ray of grace broke in to display forgiveness, generosity, mercy, and perhaps even love. So I say, forget about it. Whatever others have done to us, said to us, done to hurt us or owe us, there's a choice we can make. We can carry the hurt and resentment through our lives, distorting our present experiences and poisoning the future. Or we can say, forget about it. Finding focus. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Paul wrote this to the early Christians so that they could move their focus from the past to their future as followers of Jesus. He compared himself to a runner in a race to illustrate his mindset and the motivation of his spiritual life. Like a runner, he needs to focus on his goal. He won't be successful if he doesn't concentrate on the race or if he's torn between competing goals that may distract or confuse him. A runner must also focus on the next steps toward their goal. Paul implies that his spiritual life is similar, so he will not look back on his past steps or mistakes, but will instead keep his mind on improving each next step in the race until the goal is achieved. We too can learn from the past, but we aren't bound by things we've done or not done. We can determine how much of our past will affect us now. We also determine what aspects of our past will let shape our attitudes and actions. The past has no power to do anything unless we give it the power. Unfortunately, most of us haven't learned to leave the past behind. Our thoughts are filled with ideas, reflections, and memories that can define us, limit us, and wreak havoc on our current situations and relationships by triggering old wounds, emotions, and loss. Too often in counseling settings, a couple will be arguing or fighting about something and will resort to weaponizing their past hurts in order to inflict pain on each other. It's as if they're hoisting up a big garbage can of hurt and debris and dumping the whole mess on the other person's head. Usually, the painful memories have a ring of truth, and the feelings are real, but over the years, the memories have evolved to the point where, though we're certain of their accuracy, they, in fact, are clouded and changed from the original event. When we say we need to leave the past behind, what does it mean? Some think by simply not thinking about it, we become instantly free and able to live confidently and happily. But closing our minds to past experiences, relationships, problems, and failures will never make us free or happy. It just covers them up so they can continually sabotage our lives. Instead of denial, we can bring our mistakes and hurts into the light, where we can openly explore the dynamics of our lives to this point, then respond appropriately to the situations. If we need to forgive ourselves or someone else, then we do it. If we need to learn from an experience in order to respond differently when faced with a similar issue, then we explore the lessons that can be taken from it. We can't pretend something didn't happen or tell ourselves everything is fine when it's not. We should avoid assuming we know why things happened the way they did, or why people treated us a certain way, or why we did what we did. These assumptions are usually wrong, because we're looking at the circumstances through distorted thinking. Rather than assume, it is sometimes possible to check reality. Often we can test our opinions and see if we're right. Even if we come up with many possible reasons, we still won't know for certain. It's all right to recognize we may never know for certain why things happened the way they did. It's okay. After examining the experience, we can still choose to move on in a healthy way. Letting go. One of the things that connects all of us is our ability to experience pain. It doesn't matter if the pain is physical or emotional, we've all been hurt from time to time. Part of what makes us unique is how we deal with the pain. The purpose of life is not freedom from pain, writes Bruce Larson. If you have enough money to hire medical folks to keep you comatose, drugged, and fed intravenously, you could live the rest of your life without ever having to feel pain. But that's hardly living. The purpose of life, according to Jesus, is to love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself. That means loving a world full of people who are desperate for love, starting in your home or your neighborhood. Do that, and you will experience pain, I promise. Look for a minute at this problem of pain from God's point of view. If God had wanted to avoid pain, there would be no people. We've been a problem ever since the Garden of Eden. We've been rejecting Him, betraying Him, ignoring Him. We've been a pain in the neck to God. And if God was unable to accept pain, there'd be no relationship possible with His creation. There'd be no redemption. Why should we be any different? When emotional pain keeps us from healing from an experience, it's a sign that we aren't moving forward in a healthy, growing way. When we get stuck thinking about a painful situation and what should have happened in our opinion, we risk becoming immobilized in painful memories and experiences. Although we all have elements of the past that are upsetting and often debilitating, we are the people we are because of, not in spite of, our childhood, parents, education, and events we experienced. We can replace cynicism with intentional gratitude. This will help free us from our natural tendency to assume the worst or lock our minds into negative attitudes that form. We avoid thinking things like, no one will ever love me again, or I'll never get hired again. These types of ultimate conclusions set us up to wrap ourselves in defeat and block our ability to move on. When you're ready to let go of something from the past, it can help to do something tangible that symbolizes the release of the memory. Some people, for example, take small stones to a pond or lake, and with each stone they state a memory they desire to leave behind. Then throw the stone into the lake, symbolizing the release and end of that memory's grip on them. Once, when speaking at a conference about forgiveness and letting go of the past, I had a brilliant idea. I invited everyone to write on a piece of paper an element of their past they were ready to release in order to move forward in their lives. I then had everyone come up and throw their written memory into a large metal trash can. When they'd all returned to their seats, I thought it would be dramatic to light the papers on fire so everyone could see their memory go up in smoke. I was right about it being dramatic and even memorable. The fire burned much more than I'd anticipated and sent billows of smoke up to the ceiling of the room we were meeting in. Too late, I realized this exercise would probably have worked better if we were outside, perhaps around a campfire where the smoke wouldn't have set off the fire alarms, triggered the sprinkler system, caused water to spray down into the room, and soaked all the participants. Now that is what I call memorable. The Bible is quite clear about whether or not we should focus on the circumstances and hurts of our past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Where should we be focusing our attention instead? See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Verse 19. There must be a lot of us out there who chronically brood about the past so much that we miss out on the fresh opportunity, the new circumstance, or the healed relationship. Perhaps it's more comfortable to settle into what we know so well. New experiences are far from comfortable. What will it be like? How will it affect me? What if I can't handle it? What if? Of course, there are people like my friend Jake, who brims with new ideas, new adventures, and new challenges. Sometimes he wears me out with his enthusiasm. Unlike me, when he thinks about something new, it's exciting for him. For me, the new is mostly just stressful. Eventually, I can adapt to the new and find my way forward, but by the time I get on board, there's another new, so I'm still lagging behind everyone else. The final message at the very end of the Bible reminds us, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Revelations chapter 21, verse 5. We know this, and if we, for the most part, believe it, then why is it still difficult for us to let go of the baggage from the past and embrace the challenges and opportunities of today? I clipped out an old Peanuts cartoon in which Charlie Brown is standing on the pitching mound and Lucy walks up and tosses the ball to him. "Sorry I missed that easy fly ball," she says. "I thought I had it, but suddenly I remembered all the others I've missed. The past got in my eyes." Pressing on. Trying to not think of something is probably the most effective way to make sure it's all you think about. Forget about it is much more than trying to not think about the past. It's an invitation for us to start moving forward with freedom and confidence. Here are some steps that can help us turn from our past toward a positive future. 1. Take time to learn from the past without staying stuck in it. Ignoring or denying the past will not result in freedom. We can reflect on some of our negative experiences and painful memories from a brand new perspective. Ask yourself what really happened. This time, though, approach it like the detective in Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. Don't bother with blaming or trying to figure out the whys and wherefores. When you've made note of the facts, then consider the emotions you feel about the situation. After you've considered your feelings, it's time to think about how you can use this to help you be stronger and better today. Then, it's time to move on. It's good to consider the things of the past as long as we don't dwell on them. After doing this exercise, resist the temptation to gather up all the hurts and memories to tuck away for future wallowing. It's time to forget about it. 2. Think about who you want to be now. We are not trapped, and the things we endured or experienced don't have to define us. Just because we were victimized doesn't mean we have to be a victim now. Just because we failed doesn't make us a failure now. Just because our hearts are broken doesn't mean we won't love or be loved again. It may seem normal to hold on to past pain, but it's also normal to let it go when we're ready. 3. Burn that bridge when you get to it. Sometimes there are people, places, and things that constantly remind us of past hurts. It's possible to cut them off. Disconnect from anything you associate with the memory. Let go of the things that you connect with the pain. Avoid the triggers and reminders that keep pulling you back into the pain. Jesus dealt with this by releasing his followers. "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet." Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Sometimes the right thing to do is physically get away. Perhaps it's a gift to walk away from the rejection and move on with your life. Trust your instinct. You'll know who's good for you and who isn't. Imagine starting over surrounded by people who encourage and support you, not those who are toxic and abusive. 4. Forgive yourself and others. Forgiveness helps release the anger and pain that haunt the past. When we forgive others, it helps us far more than them. We can assume they'll never own up to the damage they did, but it doesn't matter. As soon as we choose to release them and forgive, a tremendous weight falls away from us. It's not easy, but it is essential. 5. Start again with gratitude. Don't think this transformation is easy or painless, because it's not. I love the part in C.S. Lewis's The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, in which Aslan, the lion, peels away the dragon skin from Eustace. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?